Welcome to Emil Franzink's Voices of the West, dedicated to the principle that America was better off when our TV shows featured cowboys instead of lawyers.
And we still hold that to be a truism.
Yeah, we don't need no stinking lawyers.
Welcome. It's another edition of Emil Franzink's Voices of the West. I'm Harry Alexander, Bunker de France here, and soon on is our good friend. There he is. Let me fix you there, Todd. Hang on a second. There we go. All right, and our good friend in Los Angeles, Todd Roberts. And yes, we're running a shade late, and the reason for that, big time accident over on Interstate 10 and between Tucson and the ranch. And, well, it was impossible to get to where I wanted to go, so I had to go a different way. And that took a bit.
Came the way of Phoenix.
Yeah, came the way of Phoenix. Yeah. Anywho, this is Movie Saturday here on Emil Franzink's Voices of the West, and this is the real Memorial Day, ladies and gentlemen. Not that crap the government dishes out that's that last Monday in May.
It's pseudo.
Yeah, it's the 30th of May is the official, or was the official Memorial Day when it was set up. It was 1867, 68, 69, somewhere in there. And it had been celebrated since, until the government decided, hey, our employees need a three-day weekend. Like hell you do. Anyway, that's the name of that tune. So, what are we doing for Movie Saturday? We're doing Indigenous filmmakers, but I'm suspecting before we get anywhere with that, we're going to be doing some of a Bunker's a Bunkhouse and a Bovine and other stuff. Is that correct?
Well, we are, but it's an abbreviated version.
Okay.
Somehow or another, I have misplaced a piece of paper. And so we're only going to get 3 days. I don't understand this. I had it. I saw it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, this is...
And now you lost it.
No. Keep talking.
Yeah, okay, right? Yeah, well...
It's my turn to tell you.
Yeah, okay, keep talking. All right, well, Todd Roberts, howdy. How are you, sir?
I am well, thank you. Very
good.
Well.
Good.
How are you guys?
A little bit rushed. I have not had time to get our adult beverages yet, but not to worry. That'll be happening soon.
Okay, well, we'll just do the abbreviated version. Unfortunately, we're going to lose 4 days. I know most of you are probably cheering. Thank God. Too much bovine. But anyhow, coming to you from Bunker's Bunkhouse, full of bovine. The good, bad, and the bovine. And we're going to start out with May 27, 1837. James Butler Hickok, that's Wild Bill to you folks, was born. He was a frontiersman, an army scout, a lawman, a wagon master, a gambler, a pistolero, a showman, an actor. And this is what I thought was interesting. He was married to Agnes Thatcher Lake on March 8, 1876. So it was a short wedding. But she was a tightrope walker, a lion tamer, an equestrian. They got married in Wyoming, and she owned her own circus. Now, that's what any kid, that just shows you Wild Bill was a big kid because he married a lady so he could have his own circus. Anyhow, now, on May 28 in 1754, the first engagement of the French and Indian War, the Virginia militia under 22-year-old Lieutenant Colonel George Washington, he was green, defeats a French reconnaissance party in the Battle of Jumongville, Glen in southwestern Pennsylvania. I think that's so cool. He later on went into another one and he had his tail between his legs. Now, the 29th of May, 1780, at the Waxahaw Massacre during the Revolutionary War, British forces continue attacking after the Continentals, that's us, the good guys, laid down their arms, killing 113 and critically wounding all but 53 that remained. In other words, they just kept, it was melee all over again.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what?
What?
That's it. That's driving me nuts.
Well.
I know I did it.
I'm sure you did.
I've done this before.
But you know, you
I think there are haints in my house. You know, they come around, them haints.
Yeah, the ghosts.
As best as they say, them haints come around and they do twisty things to your goodies.
Yeah, those ghosties, man, I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
Hey, tomorrow, we have to acknowledge this. Tomorrow.
Tomorrow, that's 31st.
31st. Clint Eastwood turns 95.
Who cares? How old are you?
Too damn old.
Now, the reason I said that is because here on Tucson, in a week's time, you will see anywhere from a dozen to 24 Clint Eastwoods, the mm-hmm. same ones, over and over and I love Clint Eastwood, but man, it's getting nauseating.
It's television, man. That's all they can do.
They don't care. They got a package and they just run it over and over.
That's pretty much it.
And the rest of us.
Well, do you think they should air shows that nobody wants to watch?
Yeah.
Oh, I think they should air shows that nobody's had a chance to see.
Well, that's why they're airing as much as they are. So
how about some
has
of those old B westerns from the 30s? How about some of them good westerns from the 40s and 50s?
You know, I'm with you.
There's thousands of them.
I'm with you.
Well, they show those, don't they?
No, you got to find them. Not on the over the air stuff.
Not on the CBS.
Well, you find them on Grit, and you find them on INSP.
Mm-hmm.
You don't find them on Grit. You get the same ones with an occasional carrot.
This is why I do not watch over the air television or cable television or satellite television.
Well, wait a
anymore.
Minute. You find them on INSP.
Mm-hmm.
You find them on WAC.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't find them on any of those guys because I don't have a computer. I have an old-fashioned over-the-air. I get Grit and
no, I'm watching television when I'm talking about these stations.
Well, I just disagree with you 100%. They run them and run them and run them. Yeah, they play other stuff, but 50% of the stuff is Wayne, Eastwood. If you're lucky, we'll get a run of Audie Murphy's or Roy Calhoun's. But even then, you don't get Stephen McNally. You don't get Rod Cameron. You don't get William Boyd, Autry, Rogers. All the big, you don't get them. I want to see them, and I know there's a ton of other people want to see them. I don't want to see. You know, like I said, I've seen McClintock so many times I can almost recite it backwards.
The dialogue.
Yeah, I mean, I love McClintock, but there's a saturation point.
Well, we had a trifecta last night of Red Ryder movies.
There you go. See, why aren't they on there?
You know, Wild Bill was there, and then the next one was Alan Rocky Lane, and the next one was Wild Bill again.
Yeah. And then you got Jim Bannon, and you got Don Redberry.
Yeah,
I mean,
I know.
Why don't they run a week of Red Ryder movies?
Here's what I know. I found these at Word on Westerns Rob Word's YouTube channel, and there you go. So,
hey, I find stuff when I'm doing research, and I'm finding stuff all the time. I'm going, man, I'd love to watch that, but I can't access them because they're just showing pieces of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I watch the pieces, and mm-hmm. you know, and just, yeah.
So it goes.
What do you got to say to that, Todd?
Well, I find old John Wayne's, the old ones, and I find lots of old TV shows, like shows you don't necessarily see, like Rebel.
Yep.
And Adventures of Jim Bowie.
Yep.
And the California.
The series are a little better, I grant you that.
The Californians.
Yep.
Or whatever you call it.
Yep.
But you do find those old John Waynes. So, I understand your point, and I don't disagree with it in principle. I find it on those stations, but I also find it early in the morning.
That's what
mainly early in the morning or late at night.
And I'm up and out, and I'm in bed early, so I'm not staying up. You're right there. I grant you that. After 10 o'clock, you got a chance at seeing some different westerns. But guess what? I'm a bed asleep.
All right.
Well,
I'm cutting
logs.
Yeah. I'm piling up Z's.
Despite having 25 cups of coffee during the day.
Coffee doesn't. I can drink a cup of coffee and go right to sleep.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's see. Movie Saturday here at the beautiful White Stallion Ranch.
Oh, look at that. Look
just
at that.
North of Tucson.
Tucson Mountains, the backside.
Oh, man. You know.
Yeah, there's the Diamond Head of the Desert right there behind us.
It's a beautiful place here.
Yeah.
You should come and vacation here and be Western, man.
You horseback, you can go shoot bows and arrows.
All kinds of things. Hey, speaking of all kinds of things, Mezcal Movie Tours is getting going again.
Good.
On Saturdays. Go to mezcalmovie.com and you'll see what the schedule is, and you can sign up for it, I'm sure.
And always check, because if they get something in to shoot, they'll cancel the tour.
Correct.
So always double check.
And tell Mark Sankey that Voices of the West sent you.
That's right. And Harry Alexander gives it 5 thumbs up.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Indigenous Filmmakers, Bunker.
Yes, well, I want to read a little thing here.
I'm going to go for an introduction. I'm going to go get what?
You going to get the beverage?
I'm going to get our beverages.
Okay, Indigenous Westerns. Groundbreaking films made by Indigenous Native filmmakers offer profound, authentic storytelling that centers on contemporary life, cultural resilience, and historical truth, ranging from iconic coming-of-age road trips to thrilling modern dramas. Films that serve as a milestone in Indigenous cinema, where Native people tell their own stories. You get the truth that cuts through all the stereotypes and smashes them. Good storytelling, something that is missing in Hollywood. And I just want to, that was my introduction, but I got a couple of comments on that as well. I spent the last 2 weeks doing this, and I spent 5 days just on Smoke Signal, because I love that film so much that I just didn't do the other shows. And then this last week I did about 5 shows in 5 days. I just get bogged down in these guys. But one of the things that I noticed, because I'll tell you, our Indigenous actors, these guys, they're like, well, it's like I told Harry yesterday, the Indigenous film world is kind of like the 1930s pre-code Hollywood, when everyone was just enthusiastic, full of love for what they were doing, full of talent, and it shows. I mean, and the funny thing, too, is they're actors. You know, they don't really have a star system. They're all actors. They all, you know, Gary Farmer, who's a perfect example, seems to work on almost everything. He'll be starring in one movie, and then the next one, he's doing a little bit part, almost a talking extra. But these guys, you know, I really got turned on to watch. You know, I'm part Native and Native American, but I've never really studied the cultures. But watching, Wyoming sheriff thing. Anyhow, the Indian actors on that, I was noticing, you know, these guys, they're not only holding their own with the Anglo actors, they're doing a better job in a lot of them. And Longmire, that's what I was thinking of. But, yeah. Hey, Todd, why don't you jump in there? You got a good history with the Native culture.
Well, thank you, Bunker. You know, I do have a few filmmakers that I kind of like a lot. The first one is Chris Ear.
Oh, yes.
E-Y-R-E, Cheyenne and Arapaho, has worked on some films that I like. Smoke Signals is one of them, as you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
But also the movie Skins.
Yes.
And he has produced and directed episodes of Dark Winds. And... documentary Real Engine. And then the other one is Sky Hopi Nika, which is Ho-Chunk Nation. And films, you know, such as, hold on here, Deconstructing Language Through Cinema is a way for me to be free from traditional storytelling and explore or purpose more of what the Indigenous cinema has the possibility to look like. this is a very interesting approach. Won the MacArthur Fellowship Award in 2018 from Filmmaker Magazine. Was interviewed, and I just think is bringing a new and fresh, authentic look and feel of that experience, what it is to be native in this country. And then we've got, hold on, my computer just kind of went a little wacky on me. Sterling Harjo, Muskogee and Seminole. Triple talent, writer, producer, director. Four Sheets to the Wind. And, has won numerous awards and has been noticed by a lot of different people. Also, the creative force between The Lowdown and the coming-of-age popular TV show Reservation Dogs.
Great show.
And then you've got Sydney Freeland, Drunktown's Finest, was sparked by a segment she saw on 2020, which called the town of Gallup, New Mexico, Drunktown. Her response was to give them a movie, and she did that. She's also worked on Reservation Dogs, Echo, Resident Alien, and she wrote and directed the movie Res Ball. And the last one is Tracy Deer, who's Mohawk, the movie Beans, and regarding the Oka crisis in the 90s and the Mohawk that occurred on the Mohawk Reservation. And these are all people that are talented. There's no reason they shouldn't be working more. They make as good a quality product as anybody else, that they're on par with all of their contemporaries. And, you know, it's unfortunate that we don't see more from them. I know that the tribes, certain tribes, have a lot of capital at their disposal, and they could be making, not to mention they should be also given a little more, a lot more support by Hollywood.
Okay,
that's my first run at it.
Okay, we need to do our first commercial break here on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker to France, and Todd Roberts with you. We are at the White Stallion Ranch. It's Movie Saturday, last Saturday of the month. Indigenous filmmakers will be back.
Cowboys. It's also the true West, where a large number of Westerns were filmed. For your next vacation, come out to where Wyatt Earp made a name for himself as a highly respected sheriff. Stay where Jimmy Stewart filmed Winchester 73.
That would be the White Stallion Ranch. Situated in the mountains just northwest of Tucson, the White Stallion Ranch is an award-winning dude ranch with 43 guest rooms and the Hacienda. That's a 5-bedroom, 3-bathroom home, perfect for larger families, family reunions, and girlfriend getaways. Every guest room has a private patio with views of the cactus gardens, mountains, or corrals. Generous floor plans offer sunny, comfortable rooms, but you won't want to stay in your room. Outdoor activities are plentiful at the White Stallion Ranch. Horseback riding, hiking, shooting, archery, rock climbing, e-biking, and a weekly ranch rodeo are among the numerous activities that you'll enjoy on your ranch vacation. Go Western for your next getaway. The White Stallion Ranch. Book your vacation now online at whitestallionranch.com or call 520-297-0252.
This is Eb Wilkinson at Wilkinson Wealth Management. If you're within 10 to 15 years of retirement and you're putting off retirement planning, my advice to you is don't do that. Ignoring your retirement planning won't make it go away. It'll just make it worse. Give me a call and let's work on your plan together so you can retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
The Tucson Trap and Ski Club is one of the best-kept economic secrets in town. This 900-member group maintains one of the finest shotgun shooting ranges in the country, featuring trap, skeet, five-stand, and sporting clays fields, and hosts national and international events that bring thousands of people and millions of dollars into our community. The Spring Satellite Grand American Tournament alone involves 1,200 participants for 10 days. Learn more about this and their other contributions to our community at TucsonTrapAndSkeet.com.
Beans in the pot, bacon in the pan. Eat them while they're hot. Get them while you can.
This is the Voices of the West.
I thought it appropriate to play the Gary Owen march there.
You know what's interesting about that?
Because it is Memorial Day.
Yeah. But it is not on the Indian top 10 list.
I'm sure it's not. Welcome back to Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker to France, Todd Roberts with you. It's a movie Saturday. We're out at the White Stallion Ranch, just north of Tucson. And we're doing indigenous filmmakers. And fellas, I was out going to get our refreshments, as it were. So I didn't catch most of the first part of what all went down. But the question I've got, Todd, you mentioned that Hollywood should pay a lot more attention or give more support to the indigenous filmmakers. Is there a reason that you can figure why they would not? Or did I miss that part already?
No.
I didn't give you a reason, but I can. But let me just make sure that I can apply this to all corners, whether they are black filmmakers, yeah, or they are Latin filmmakers, or they are Asian filmmakers, Native filmmakers in Hollywood, or shall I say the lack of enthusiasm from Hollywood. Number one, there is a belief that the, especially with the Native population, is the, and by the way, let me preface so that please stop writing your letter.
Okay. Oh, write the letter anyway.
Let me know, please. You send it to Bunker. We know his address. I posted it on the website before.
I don't get an email.
Yeah, you'll start now.
I love irate mail. I have it for breakfast.
He's our complaint department.
Yeah, so they believe this in all of the groups of filmmakers I've mentioned, but you know, first of all, it's all based on population, what they believe. Now, this is completely unfair, and because you're assuming a lot, and you know, Hollywood loves to pride itself on being so woke and so welcoming to everybody and every religion, every walk of life, and everything. But the Native American, this being the smallest population, that's not they're going to make movies for themselves, it's not going to be interesting to the rest of the population. It's all about money. Okay. The way Hollywood is now structured and the way it's working is they literally have a formula, and the formula they work it backwards.
Just copy everything that went before.
No, it's not. They do that, but the new formula is basically how many people is this picture going to touch, or potentially how many people from this category or this demographic is it going to attract? And there's a point system, and they add points all along the way. And then you get to the end, and it's got to have a certain amount of points. And if it doesn't have that amount of points, they basically don't want to make it. Mm-hmm. So that's how they have now gotten into a horrible, horrible rut, which is a tunnel they can't turn around. Mm-hmm. They can only go forward, and they're at a dead end,
right,
which is superhero movies, which are $150 million.
Yeah,
right. So and they suck. If you want to make a film that's, you know, a $5, $10, $20 million film, you know, go out and make it. When you're finished making it, bring it to us. We'll see if we like it. And then if we like it, we'll distribute it and probably take advantage of you and take most of it.
So that's how Hollywood is working now, and it's unfortunate because all these filmmakers have a lot to say. You know, I remember when they made Zoot Suit with with the Valdez, playwright and then writer director of the film with Edward James Olmos, and it was going to be a, you know, it was, got a lot of action on Broadway and then as a film, and you know, everybody thought the doors were just going to swing wide open. And you know, basically Hollywood works off a standpoint of what have you done for me lately, what's your next hit, and so that's how they keep them out.
Are there any independent companies that are doing well, that they're able to facilitate films from other filmmakers?
Well, one of the things is that the festival circuit, that's how some of these films finally escape.
Okay.
With the mainstream Hollywood, if you've got enough clout, you might be able to squeeze through a vanity project. But I want to point something out here that we're overlooking. You know, in Canada, there's over 600, I think like 643 recognized tribes.
Mm-hmm.
That means, you know, I've got a list here, like Todd did with the actor and then their tribe.
He's got a separate...
It goes on forever.
He's got a separate Rolodex for that.
but here's the thing. In Canada, there is a indigenous industry. They are cranking out indigenous films in Canada.
Okay.
But that's the other thing. How often do you see a Canadian film in America?
Not very often, but...
Very rarely.
That also goes to Australia, New Zealand.
Exactly.
South Africa, maybe.
Europe.
South America.
South America, yeah.
The foreign films dominated the market. You know, we all remember the art houses.
Yeah.
Hell, you can't find an art house. Now, an outhouse you can, but not an art house.
Yeah, the Loft thinks it's an art house, but
oh, it's a liberal dumping ground.
It is,
unfortunately.
Yeah, so I would also say to you that it's important to realize that the Hollywood loves to pride itself on being so open and liberal and woke and all the rest of it. But if it was, then why aren't there more minority filmmakers? Why
exactly.
Aren't there more minority films?
Exactly.
Well,
the excuse they use is they don't make money.
The excuse they use is
there's not enough people out there to see them. Nobody wants to see this.
They're not going to want to see them because they're not exposed to them, so they don't build an appetite for them.
Here's the deal.
Yeah.
If they don't have a month for them, there ain't going to be nothing.
Well, you know, it's getting to the theaters. You know, a theater, if they want the latest Star Wars or the latest Marvel superhero,
sure,
they've got to book four or five other films
in order to get that
are just pure Hollywood crap.
Yeah,
they have to book them and run them in their theaters.
Yeah.
Let me now try to offend some people. So you can start writing letters about this. You know, this is where letter writing can start. And I'm not purposely singling out the Oneida Nation particularly, because I know of several others. I just don't, they don't come to mind at this moment, but the Oneidas is the one I'll use as an example.
Okay.
The Oneida Indian Nation started off an entertainment fund. This is 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They put $90 million into a fund, and to my knowledge, I've seen very little come out on that from product come out from that fund.
Okay.
So I know of one album that was recorded that was in all different, it was all Christmas songs, so all the songs we know. But they were all done in different Indian native languages. So one was in Navajo, one was in Oneida, one was in Ojibwe, one was in Sioux, one was in Apache, and on down. But what happened to that money?
Well, here's an example for you. This is going back to the early 60s. The Jicarilla Apache totally financed the movie, A Gunfight. Kirk Douglas and Johnny Cash, and it was a decent movie. Unfortunately, it didn't make any money, so the Jicarilla said, you know, we'll invest our money somewhere else.
Hmm.
And that's sad because, you know, it was a good movie, but it never got a chance because it didn't get the exposure it needed or the
You need to kiss several frogs before you get to a prince.
Yeah, you know, it's really a sad state of affairs in this country and around the world that you have to do something. If you're of a different culture, forget about trying to get it into the mainstream.
Well, here's another.
Because, you know, the mainstream is going to say, I don't want to see that garbage. Well, it's not garbage. It's cultural stuff.
Well, the people now that are greenlighting films are basically accountants.
Yeah, well,
they're not filmmakers.
And radio stations and TV stations. Yeah, they're not. Yeah, any in broadcasting is a bean counter as far as I'm concerned.
Just to enlarge on what Harry's saying, it's, you know, you don't have a media that supports anything except whatever the
crap.
It only supports what the owners of the paper want supported.
Yep.
We have a closed culture.
Times have not changed. It was that way back in the 1800s.
But I'll tell you what, I can remember as a kid in the 40s and 50s, my mom buying every week she would buy a half a dozen movie magazines.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, the magazines were private businesses, but they were also supported by the studio. That's one of the things. We lost the studio system. We lost a lot of stuff because Tough did get made during the studio system.
Yeah.
I want to talk about a movie though.
Okay.
You know, and I'm going to trash the title of this, but this movie is a beautiful, gorgeous movie. It's At Ar Juat, The Fast Runner, made in 2001. It was a Canadian film, of course, 161 minutes. Zacharias Kunuk, and he was an Inuit. It was done in widescreen digit video, but it was made in the Inuktitut language, the whole thing.
Wow.
And it's an epic. It's about a young hunter whose tribe has been cursed. This takes place pre-European. This is way back.
Okay.
Because it's like part of their legends.
Okay.
But the tribe has been cursed. He falls in love with this beautiful young gal. And unfortunately, the tribal shaman, who is an evil shaman, he ends up running naked across northern Canada.
Wow.
That's why they get the title. But the highlight is a beautiful barefoot journey across northern Canada wilderness. And it's also a peek into their culture. It's based on an ancient Inuit folktale. And it is beautifully filmed in widescreen. And I tell you, this is, I would say, a kind of film that you got to like this kind of film,
mm-hmm.
but if you don't have access to it, how are you ever even going to learn to like it?
Well, that's very true, and don't probably not find it on YouTube. And if you do, don't turn on the captions because those AI captions have no idea what the devil those people are saying,
and they can't spell.
Let me just say that my two favorite indigenous films are. They're not necessarily made by indigenous filmmakers, but they have indigenous actors in them, which is Powwow Highway.
Oh, yeah.
And Smoke Signals.
Yeah.
Two of my favorites.
Who was the director we had on, Todd, sometime back? We watched her film. She sent us links on that.
The gal from California, the mission one.
Katie Ryan.
I think
Ghosts of California.
I think that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Really well done. Well done.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And unfortunately, you know, you'd think California wouldn't be, but California might be as bad as any, maybe the worst state ever, the way it treated. It's indigenous tribes.
Mm-hmm. On that note, we have to take our next break here on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. The hour is going and going and going until it's gone. Mm-hmm. Harry Alexander, Bunker to France, Todd Roberts with you. It's Movie Saturday out at the White Stallion Ranch on Franzi's Voices of the West. We'll be right back.
Can you even imagine switching back to pen and paper to run your business? Every year, we become more and more dependent upon our technology. If your network is not set up properly, you're just one click or one email away from losing data critical to your operation. Arizona Computer Guru offers a host of services to prevent and protect you from disaster. From online backup services to email filtering to fully managed network services, Arizona Computer Guru is here to keep your network secure, your data safe, and your budget in the black. To schedule your free consultation, call 304-8300.
This is Eb Wilkinson at Wilkinson Wealth Management. If you're within 10 to 15 years of retirement and you're putting off retirement planning, my advice to you is don't do that. Ignoring your retirement planning won't make it go away. It'll just make it worse. Give me a call and let's work on your plan together so you can retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
The Tucson Trap and Ski Club dates from 1948 and is now at 7800 West Old Ajo Highway. The club owns 80 acres and leases 300 more from Pima County that supports 50 trap fields, 15 skeet fields, 2 5-stand fields, 2 sporting plays courses with 12 stations each, a 9,000-square-foot clubhouse, 200 full-service RV hookups for members, and free Wi-Fi. This expansive facility gives enough room to host major national and international events annually, bringing thousands of people to the community. Check it out at TucsonTrapAndSki.com.
I wouldn't sit down there alongside either one of you if I was on my last legs. Man's known by the company he keeps.
Known by what?
By the company he keeps.
Well, I don't see how being alone is going to help you none. You couldn't get no worse company.
This is the Voices of the West.
Back on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West, Harry Alexander, Bunker de France, Todd Roberts with you, and Todd's in Los Angeles. We're over at the White Stallion Ranch, streaming live to you on Movie Saturday.
Our view is better than yours.
And, well, yeah, you know, and there you go. Yeah.
I just rubbed that in.
I'm sure you did.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've got a movie here. Now, this is an interesting one because you wouldn't think of this as an indigenous film, but once you get into it, you go, wow. It's a film called Blood Quantum. Are you familiar with that one, Todd?
No, I'm not.
Okay, it was made in 2019. It premiered at the Toronto International Film Festival in Canada, of course. The director and editor is Jeff Barnaby. He's a Mi'kmaq. And the cast... Michael Gray Eyes, which I'm sure most of you remember him from Dances with Wolves. He's a First Nation Ele Mahek. Tail Feathers, Blood, Samai, Kanaai. And, you know, there's Forrest Goodtuck, who's one of the fellows at Dene. Hidatsa Mandan, Tishimishan, played part Joseph. Kiowa Jordan. Gordon, Hualapai, Olivia Shriver, and Stone Horse, Lone Goldman, Gisinan, and Sigu. I mean, I can't even pronounce too many of those. But the actors in here, going through these, I'm looking these guys up like Todd did, and the work they've done and the background they've got, you know. There's people got TV series here that haven't got the experience these guys have. But this is the storyline on this. The dead are coming back to life outside the isolated Mi'kmaq reserve of Red Crow. Except for the indigenous inhabitants are strangely immune to the zombie plague. Now, Blood Quantum, for those that don't know, it's a measurement that some native tribes use and the government to establish your status as a Native American if a person has indigenous ancestry. One of the things in the storyline, and actually this thing's kind of based on a government raid to this one village back in the 70s. That
1970s?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to see this thing because it just blew me away just reading the descriptions and looking at some of the clips. But the thing is that the Blood Quantum. It's almost like a reversal. Mm-hmm. Think about this. Smallpox, it decimated the Indian populations, mm-hmm. and the whites were weren't immune to it, but they were pretty much adapted to it.
Right.
Well, you reverse it now, you've got the zombie plague, and they're immune to it.
Oh, the natives are immune
yeah.
to it. Oh.
It's a very graphic horror movie, and unfortunately, Jeff Barnaby, the director, passed away of cancer in 2022. Mm-hmm. So, unfortunately, we won't get any more films from him. But, you know, it's just, you don't think of an indigenous filmmaker making horror movies. They make all kinds of movies.
Well, hello.
Yeah. You know, they're people just like anybody else.
Yeah.
You know, another actor, Adam Beach, you know, this guy, he's all over the place. He did a little thing called Dance Me Outside 1994 or 5, depending on, again, a Canadian, of course. But it's Native Canadian teens look for some excitement on their Northern Ontario reservation and find themselves cut off from their traditional bound parents. Now, one of the things that's interesting is a friend of theirs is killed, murdered by a white man, and he slapped on the wrist and let go. They decide they're going to take the law into their own hands and get Indian revenge.
Yep, yep.
And but and one of the side stories is one of the guy's sister, she's married to a white yuppie lawyer, and they've come to visit at that time, and at the same time, her ex-boyfriend has just got out of prison.
Okay.
So, you know, it could get interesting around the old res there.
One of the best indigenous films I believe I have seen, and it is not from Native Americans, it's from New Zealand and Australia, actually. Mm-hmm. And the movie is from 1971, and it is called Walkabout.
Mm-hmm.
And
Jenny Agugetter.
Yep. The premise of the film is, let me see if I can find it here again here. Premise of the film is a geologist takes his teenage daughter and 6-year-old son into the Australian outback and attempts to shoot them, but he fails, turns the gun on himself, and the two city-bred children must contend with the harsh wilderness and such. And they come across a Aborigine who takes them along.
Yeah.
Really good movie. Not a whole lot of dialogue in there, but a really good movie.
See, now here's another instance. In Australia and New Zealand, there is an Aborigine
yes.
film colony. They make a lot of Aborigine, and they meld the Aborigine. Even their pictures that are just strictly Australia,
yeah.
Still,
yeah.
The Aborigine are not treated like the American Indian was treated in the storyline.
Yeah, we watch the television series Brokenwood. It's on streams on Prime or BritBox or someplace, Acorn maybe. Anyway, it takes place in New Zealand, and they feature one of the detectives is indigenous, and so you know he speaks what is it, Maori, I think it is that they is the language, and I mean it's really good. Good stories, good writing. Damn, I wish Hollywood could come up with something like that.
Well, here's one for you now. Then this is really a beautiful film. It's called Dreamkeeper. It came out in 2003. And it's a Canadian film. August Schellenberg is one of the leads. Eddie Spears is a young man. Schellenberger plays this, Spears' grandfather. And Spears is getting trouble. You know, he's getting trouble with his peers because he's borrowed money from the local gang to buy his girl a gift for her birthday, and they're on him, and so he's got a problem. Well, grandfather wants to go down to this powwow in Santa Fe, the big American Indian powwow, and so grandma, she says, well, look, take young Charlie there. Take him down there with you. He can drive, you know. And I don't want to do it. And then he finds the gang is on his butt. So he says, okay. He reluctantly agrees. Well, the journey, grandfather is telling him all of these Indian legend stories, and he's mm-hmm. covering from all different kinds of tribes, mm-hmm. and it just it's and as they travel, some of the stuff you know, and they do a visual of the storytellers, you know, like Spider Woman, sure. stuff like that. As they're traveling, the gang catches up with them, and they're doing a car chase, and the gang ends up going off the road into the river, and the young boy goes in there and saves him. Well, that's a reflection back into one of the creation stories where this okay. one Indian brave yep. kills the monster in uh-huh. the river. Uh-huh. So they we'll ride along with you. Anyhow, they get there, and they don't get to the powwow. They get to Eddie's dad's, and Eddie's estranged from his father, but he sees it, but him and his father finally bind that night. Mm-hmm. Next morning, they find out grandfather's dead. Mm-hmm. So his dad says, I'm going to take grandfather back up to the reservation. Oh, and they're also hauling grandfather's pony. Okay. So he rides the pony all into there. He gets to the powwow, and he's all of a sudden, he starts seeing all of these characters that he saw in the stories. He starts seeing them in the people, and he ends up with a lot of the younger Indian kids telling stories.
Like a vision,
telling
right?
the stories yeah. his granddad told him. Hmm. So he has become a storyteller and nice. A continuing of the tradition. It's a beautiful film.
It is. It's a great story, and you don't have to be Native American or Native anybody to mm-hmm. to enjoy it or to watch it. You know, we also know that in the silent film period, and you guys may have covered this in the first portion mm-hmm. when I was absent for there, there were lots of Native American films done in the silent era.
Mm-hmm. There was a ton. There was a big industry.
Yeah. You know, and I'm willing to bet if Harry Carey still was alive or would have stayed alive, he would have got those Navajos into some sort of a film yeah. and started a film company with that.
Yeah, he would have teamed up with the Colonel, you know, yeah. and the Colonel would have brought the boys from the South Dakota
yeah, exactly.
down there.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
And the Colonel is Tim McCoy.
Yeah, yeah. I want to mention, because doing all this research, I came across there's a miniseries that's going to be coming later this year probably called People of the West. It's a 10-part miniseries, and it's about Todd, you'll like this. This is about the settlement of California by the Europeans, and it goes from the time of the first Europeans landing up to Alcatraz and the AIM movement and all of that, and all of the clips I saw, I mean, it looks like it's a humdinger. Mm. It looks like something like Ken Burns on steroids.
Well, let me mention a few more.
Go for it.
Native American filmmakers.
Please.
Shirley Chichu, who is worked a lot as Canadian Cree. Pamela Peters, who is Navajo. And we also have Marilyn Thomas, who is... I'm sorry, I lost my place here. Marilyn Thomas, and then also we have Black Horse Low, who is Navajo, and we've also got Billy Luther, who's a documentary filmmaker, talented young guy, and I think he's got a lot to say. He's Navajo, Hopi, and Laguna
wow. Pueblo,
which is unique because
New Mexico.
You know, when I was on the reservations of Hopi and Navajo, there was not a lot of Hopis and Navajos that liked each other or talked to each other.
That's what I seem to remember from Arizona yeah. history.
Well, there's quite a rivalry about the land up there.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the Hopi were
and then
there
we've
first.
Got Tony Estrada
mm-hmm.
And Roderick Pocowatchit. You know, every one of these people has gone out and made films. They should be an inspiration for any young filmmaker, but especially young filmmakers of their same heritage. Anybody can do it. You just got to get lucky. And you also got to work really hard on
those. People. Those young filmmakers just got to find those films for that inspiration.
We need, and then we've also got Georgina Lightning, who is Cree. So there's a lot of people out there. There really is, and you know, obviously it's not easy. It's difficult. The last two are Stephen Paul Judd and Sidney Freeland.
Okay.
So, well, you just know, throwing out some names, go look them up and watch some movies from a source that you've never heard of.
Uh-huh.
And you might see something you really like.
Indeed, and watch even more. We have to finish up the show here with our last commercial break.
Okay.
You know, the hour just goes and goes and goes.
This one really went fast.
Went by quickly. It's Emil Franzi's Voices of the West, Harry Alexander, Bunker to France, Todd Roberts. We'll be right back.
Arizona, the land of cattle, copper, and cowboys. It's also the true West, where a large number of Westerns were filmed. For your next vacation, come out to where Wyatt Earp made a name for himself as a highly respected sheriff. Stay where Jimmy Stewart filmed Winchester 73.
That would be the White Stallion Ranch. Situated in the mountains just northwest of Tucson, the White Stallion Ranch is an award-winning dude ranch with 43 guest rooms and the Hacienda. That's a 5-bedroom, 3-bathroom home, perfect for larger families, family reunions, and girlfriend getaways. Every guest room has a private patio with views of the cactus gardens, mountains, or corrals. Generous floor plans offer sunny, comfortable rooms, but you won't want to stay in your room. Outdoor activities are plentiful at the White Stallion Ranch. Horseback riding, hiking, shooting, archery, rock climbing, e-biking, and a weekly ranch rodeo are among the numerous activities that you'll enjoy on your ranch vacation. Go Western for your next getaway. The White Stallion Ranch. Book your vacation now online at whitestallionranch.com or call 520-297-0252.
This is Eb Wilkinson of Wilkinson Wealth Management, where we manage money for gun owners. When people turn 50, something miraculous happens. They start to get serious about retirement planning. They've done very well so far and want to be certain they power into the retirement they've earned. Let me guide you to retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
Hello, I'm Mr. Red.
No doubt you've heard about rescue groups for dogs and cats, but did you know there's a rescue group for horses? That's right, it's called Horse It Around Rescue. Founders Steve Boyce and Teresa Worrell are helping out all those equine victims of neglect and cruelty by giving them a place to restore their health and wellness. And Horse It Around provides a nurturing and natural environment where horses can be horses, so they can be adopted out into forever homes. More than 120 horses, mules, and donkeys have been adopted out, but like everything else, it costs money to run the project. Horse It Around is a 501c3 nonprofit located in Southeast Arizona. Your tax-deductible donations to Horse It Around will go a long way so those horses can be horses. Check out the website, horseitaroundrescue.org. Make a difference in a horse's life. That's horseitaroundrescue.org.
Besides bringing millions a year into this community with national and international events, the Tucson Trap and Skeet Club at 7800 West Old Ajo Highway services the local shooting sports community with a 380-acre site featuring trap, skeet, five stand, and two sporting clays fields, as well as a 9,000-square-foot clubhouse, which all is available to local shooters, and soon, an archery range. Check it out at TucsonTrapAndSkeet.com or take a drive out west of town and see it for yourself. New members or single-day use, welcome.
What happened to you?
Oh, we was having an argument with one of them cow stealing nesters when a couple of fellas in the store jumped us from behind.
Who were they?
I don't know. Never saw them before.
More settlers, I suppose. They're coming in like grasshoppers.
This is the Voices of the West.
On Emil Franzi's Voices of the West, Harry Alexander, Bunker to France, and Todd Roberts with you. Knuckles O'Toole tickling the ivories there.
Ah, yes.
With Ragtime Cowboy Joe. Great song, man. You know, there's a movie, Ragtime Cowboy Joe, starring Johnny Mac Brown, but I can't find the damn thing.
Oh, wow. I never watch great performances.
Yeah.
But it started and I was just doing something. And it was about the Jewish songwriters on Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, you know, it's it's an indigenous thing. The Jewish, their contribution to the American music, especially through Broadway and the culture, is landmark.
Yeah, it is, definitely. And there's a series that I've got saved on my Amazon watch list or Tubi watch list. It's Jews in the West.
Oh.
And it's a documentary.
I want to do that on this show.
Yeah, it's
sometime.
A documentary about the Jewish folk who settled the West. Helped settle the West.
There's a guy, I can't remember his name right off the hand. He was a photographer. He built the first mobile studio. And he was with Fremont on Fremont's second expedition to the West.
Wow.
And photographed it.
Damn. Yeah. Good
so
stuff.
We had, there was a trio of brothers who were all filmmakers back starting in the silence and moving forward. Edwin Carey and his two brothers, Wallace Ware Fox and Frank Confinius Fox. His birth name was John J. Fox. But he wanted to change his name to Edwin after Edwin Booth, his favorite actor, John Wilkes' brother, John Wilkes Booth's brother.
Right.
And then Carey was the character he was playing on stage. He was Chickasaw. They were all three were Chickasaw, and they worked with a lot of people over the years that we would know, from Gary Cooper on.
Mm.
So it just goes to show you that it can be done. It has been done, and it will continue to be done.
You know, we failed to mention, you know, guys like Graham Greene,
mm-hmm.
who tremendously successful. In a sense, he's like the modern Jay Silverheels, but with much more exposure and different types of stuff. And Gary Farmer, you know, this guy is phenomenal. I could go through this list here and probably name a half a dozen or more of the movies. He's in everything.
Point of the matter is, go find these movies, look for the stuff,
rent them,
watch them, and hopefully you will enjoy them and move on to another movie.
You might be surprised.
You might be surprised. And you know, follow the genre, and it's good stuff. And I guarantee you that the three of us on this program are going to continue to promote these kinds of movies.
I'm
because
going to dig
they're
deeper
just damn
and deeper
good.
Into the Canadian film, Western market and the Canadian Indigenous film market. Because the film, it's just, there's hundreds of these films.
And so little time to watch them.
No time to watch them. Yeah. Todd, not on television.
Todd, who do we have next week, January the 6th, or June? June the 6th, not January.
Well, thank you so much for putting me on the spot.
Certainly. It's what I do.
Scott McRae or Bob? Robert.
Next week, we have on, hold on, I got it right here.
Mm-hmm. I just told you.
We have Bob Madison, otherwise a.k.a. Scott McRae.
Mm-hmm.
And he's good.
And he's a great author. We've blown his cover now, so, unfortunately.
Well, we're not going to tell what he does, though. but what he does, I'm fascinated with it.
Tune in. You're going to love the show. Trust me.
It's going to be your favorite.
Indeed, after this one.
Well, it's going to be your favorite show next week for the week.
Well, okay. And then the following week, we'll have an even better show.
Oh, we've got Mr. Humphreys. David Kennedy.
We're going to be talking about the U.S. Marshals Museum.
Yes.
Good stuff all coming up here on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Thank you, folks. That's about all the time that we've got for today.
78, 79. Adios, all you Indiana Indians out there making movies. And just stay breathless, because they are wonderful in your club.
So long, folks.
Thanks for listening to Emil Franzink's Voices of the West.